We're going to get started in just a minute. We're just waiting on the district engineer. I want to make sure he's here since this is all pretty much under his... in his department, so to speak.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Welcome, Bob. All right, let's get started with this meeting. I'd like to call this special meeting of the Cambria Community Services District Board of Directors to order. And if everyone would please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. All right. We do have a quorum. We have all four current directors present. And because this is a special meeting, there is one time to comment. We are going to be adjourning to closed session, but not here. It will be held at Tampson, and we will take public comment after the regular agenda items on the closed session, both here and at Tampson at the office. If that's confusing and you want to know more, just go ahead and ask. It's such a huge crowd today that I don't think it's going to be manageable, really. Is there any public comment on items on today's agenda? I don't have any slips, so
no,
I'm going to say
not,
no.
Not yet.
Okay. Would you like to introduce the item, please?
Further? Yes, Madam President. Item 3A is discussion and consideration of approval of a consulting services agreement with Cleith Harris Geologist and Canon to support wet weather preparedness activities for the sustainable water facility, surface water impoundment basin. And with that, I'll turn it over to District Engineer Bob Greshens. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, General Manager Gruber, Madam President, members of the board. Our first item are the two agreements that we want your formal approval on. One is with Cleith Harris Geologist, and the other is with Canon Corporation. And I have that split into two different agreements because of the way that work progressed. This is related to our wet weather preparedness efforts that are required of our Title 27 permit for our impoundment basin, but it also ties in with the earlier cease and desist order that the Water Board issued us following the flooding that occurred last January. So we're addressing two areas that are interrelated here with these agreements. We started off because of the urgency and the need to be timely in our response to the Water Board working under our general manager's authorization, which is $25,000. The work on both agreements, although it hasn't been billed that much, has started to exceed that, so we put this together for your review and consideration. The Cleith Harris geologist work was related to the cease and desist order points dealing with the hydrogeological assessment. And it was very interesting as that work evolved. Some of the findings they came up with, for example, the lithology or the underground soil formation would allow for a French drain system to control and lower the groundwater table. That going into this, we didn't realize until it took a trained hydrogeologist getting more detailed information from the soil borings, he was able to determine this. So in the cease and desist order, it talks about putting a drain underneath the entire impoundment. And I view this as useful information to consider as we move forward. It's good. I think good decisions are supported by good information. So now we have much better information from that effort while also addressing the cease and desist order. That Jerry and I review as a policy decision going forward whether the district wants to pursue those French drains, but that was developed as the geologists got into their work. The $38,000 cost item includes $5,000 in future estimated cost if we need their support should we decide to ever go forward with those French drains in the future. So we're not doing that as part of this year's wet weather preparedness. We would prefer to just hold that off. The water board is more concerned with our isolating the pond from any stormwater, more so than controlling the groundwater level. And right now, I call it the pond or the impoundment. I use them interchangeably. The pond is in compliance with all the performance permit requirements. It has over 10.5-foot separation between the bottom and the groundwater table where it is now. It has about 56 inches of freeboard versus the 34.2 inches that's required to have as a minimum freeboard. So it's looking pretty good. And in the meantime, we're moving forward with the closure plan with the water board as well to help lower that pond even further, even in the wet weather. The work by Cannon Corporation is related to the surface water hydrology. And that particular work, they did an initial analysis based on a 1,000-year return frequency storm, which is very, very conservative. As they looked at the analysis of that for the entire upstream watershed, it just wasn't feasible or practical to handle that much water because the existing culverts can't handle it going underneath the road, and it's we looked at the Title 27 criteria a little closer and found that there was a 100-year frequency called out elsewhere in the same Title 27s, and we went back and asked them to look at a 100-year return frequency as well as looking at how high the lower reach of San Simeon Creek Road could be raised to help isolate any future flooding and prevent that from getting on our property. So they're in the middle of looking at that now, and that's why we had a second scope item with them that we put in an agreement. So their total came to about $33,364 or $164 as opposed to staying within the $25,000. So we want to make sure that you're okay with that. Again, we're trying to be responsive to the water board and moving as quickly as possible. I also like to acknowledge Paul Reichert, who's sitting in the back with Terrain. Paul's been a key to assisting me. We have an existing agreement and purchase order that's not exceeding $25,000 with Paul, and he's been doing a lot of surveying and project management and helped me out in dealing with getting bids, and that's related to your next item, for the swale work that we're trying to get completed before the rainy season hits us hard. So that's the gist of what we're asking for, is that you would consider these two agreements with Cleith Harris and, or I should say three because there's two under Cannon, to approve those for developing our wet weather preparations, and it also helps us in responding to the cease and desist order. So the total cost for those three agreements is not to exceed $74,164 without your further authorization. So I'd be glad to answer any other detailed questions you might have on this. Thank you.
Director Barringer?
Have we introduced this item?
That
was the introduction?
Yes.
Are we looking at them both at once or just A?
Right now we're doing A.
Okay. And is there a likelihood, or a likelihood is a bad word, as things progress, could you make it not to exceed, could it be substantially less if in fact they find that the work
it's
does not
come
proceed
close
or anything?
To this number, as best I can tell, as far as
it's going to come close to that number.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's going to be tough to keep it. Like I said, though, there is $5,000 in the Cleith Harris for future work that may or may not get spent, depending on upon the decision on the French drain.
Right, and this will confirm previous studies or confirm other design issues that we might be addressing
yes,
from earlier work. Okay, thanks.
Director Farmer? Vice President Farmer?
Not a problem either way. It's fine. I just want to ask a couple of questions. Has any of the work from these companies already taken place? Has any of it already been initiated?
Yes. Yes, like I said, we started under the GM's authority,
right,
$25,000 to be able to respond quickly to the water board.
So I'm wondering, why are we, I noticed the date of, I think it was October 10th or 12th, with regard to one of these agreements here. I'm just curious, why are we receiving these documents now for approval? Why didn't we receive this at the last regular meeting?
Well, we were working under the general manager's authority. We didn't issue him anything in excess of $25,000 as far as a purchase order. And then once we realized that they were starting to approach the $25,000 number, that's when we put together this board agenda package for your approval.
Engineer Greshens, when did we know that this work had to take place?
It was part of the July 18th Water Board cease and desist order.
Right.
We also do a wet weather preparedness report that's due by October 1st of each year. So it was by those two particular items that pushed us to realize that we needed some help to respond to what happened last January so we could tie that all together.
I guess I'm just concerned about the fact that, as you said, we had the meeting up in Watsonville in July. So we've known for quite a while that we would have to have some work done out there. I'm just concerned that it's taken so long to get these contracts, but let me go on with that because it doesn't appear as if I'm necessarily going to get a reason behind that other than the time element. So I just want to ask a couple more questions, if you don't mind. On page 5 of this document, up there at the first full paragraph, the second sentence, the hydrological information developed by Cleith Harris geologists provides additional facts to the CCSD on which to support policy decisions regarding any potential future use of the impoundment basin. And what would that potential future use be?
For example, if you wanted to operate on a like once or twice a month, maybe up to 3 months per year, as it was currently operated, that would provide enough evaporation capacity to dispose of the RO reject water without having to haul it to a off-site location. But that's really at the district's. Again, that's a policy decision that we'd come back to you for.
So maybe I'm misunderstanding this, but to me, potential future use sounds like something that we're going to be using this facility for something different in the future. I mean, that's the way I interpret this. Am I wrong in that?
Well, the SEIR proposed converting its use to storing just non-potable groundwater and then putting in a surface water treatment plant for that. It was fairly expensive, but that was going to be a conversion of use should we go forward with off-hauling that water, say, to the South County Sanitary District outfall as opposed to trying to deal with it locally in that pond. There are mitigations to address the use of that pond. It's a bit of a policy and finance question because it relates to how quickly the district wants to move in that direction and spend those funds to modify that pond and to spend money on the off-hauling cost. I wrote that in the report because it was really new information when I heard from the hydrogeologist that this French drain system could work to control groundwater levels. I didn't think that was feasible going into this. I really had my doubts when I read the cease and desist order, and it talked about putting drains underneath the entire pond, which would have required ripping up the whole liner. So I didn't think it was feasible until our hydrogeologist got more accurate data and came up with that idea.
Well, you know, I think as you mentioned earlier, the regional board isn't requiring any installation of French drains. It's not part of this process, right?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question so I make sure I hear it right?
I said the Regional Water Quality Control Board is not requiring that we install any French drains. In fact, they're not even encouraging it.
They're more interested in us isolating the surface water from it.
Right.
And but it is sort of an issue that I think the district should consider related to financing and when they want to do certain things in the future and spend that money to convert the use of the pond. So there is a little bit of flexibility this might provide. But yeah, I think you're reading the intent of the water board staff correctly, because when we met with them maybe a few weeks back, that was the indication they gave us, is that, you know, we just want to see you focus on isolating the stormwater from the pond as opposed to dealing with the controlling the groundwater.
Madam
President, I just want to dovetail on District Engineer Gresham's comments and then Vice President Farmer's comments. We did absolutely know about it after the meeting in Watsonville, but the mobilization and the coordination of all these efforts has taken probably every day since that point all the way up to even today, requiring Bob's time, almost full time, my time, a lot of my time, and Carolyn's time in addition to all the consultants. Also, you know, you're right when you said that the Regional Water Quality Control Board doesn't want us to necessarily focus our emphasis right now on the end-of-drain system, not because it's not a priority at some point in time. It's just they realize that we have a limited resources as far as staffing goes, and they much rather see Bob and I's efforts being used in, as Bob indicated, addressing some of the surface water concerns, which we've been doing. Again, with these agreements and then all the efforts that we've worked with state parks and county roads and Paul Reichhardt and all those things, we've made significant progress, we feel, in addressing some of the concerns that led to the inundation of water into the pond last year, especially along the shoulders of the roads. There's still some work that needs to be done, obviously, and we'll continue to work with the agencies on those things and get the necessary permits. But we had 500 sandbags delivered. In addition to the ones we had, we took the old sandbags out because when we were doing the core sampling, some of the sandbags were destroyed. So we bought a higher quality sandbag. They're UV resistant and they can be used for multiple years. And we've mobilized 500 of those. We've ordered another 500, and we should have those in place. They should be delivered by the end of the week, and we should have those additional 500. So all those things, Vice President Farmer, in addition to these efforts, have taken a significant amount of time to implement. Bob and I work on this every day, and it is a process. So in a perfect world, we would have liked to seen, it was within my authority originally. And the reason I decided to ask Madam President to have this board meeting is to just consolidate everything, let the board know what we've done so far, what it's cost us, the direction we're going, hopefully garner the board's support and get your blessing as we move forward. And then if there is any other major policy decisions like the underdrain or anything like that, that we reconvene and bring you up to date, because the only opportunity really we've had the chance to talk to the board is periodically during board meetings and things like this. And we really want the emphasis today to be focused on the work that we've got done out there, the work that we're going to do, the work that still needs to be done. And more importantly for me, it's the amount that we've spent so far. I started getting a little uncomfortable about the amount of money we've spent so far with the consultants. So district council, myself, and Monique and District Engineer Bob Gresham's thought that it would be a good idea to bring all this information forward to the board so you could have an update on where we are with everything.
Yeah. So not to dwell on this for too much longer, but so you're telling me that, you know, work's already been started, you're concerned about the costs, so now you're bringing these contracts to us for us to approve. It sounds to me maybe like the cart before the horse, but let me just go past that because we've already addressed it, I guess, to some degree, I don't know, to my satisfaction. So just a couple more items. I don't mean to be hogging this, but so we have the costs up here, up front here, of $74,000 and change. Yet under Terrain, and Paul Reichardt, I believe, is involved with Terrain, I see where the initial costs with the work that he already did, I believe the contract is signed in the back of this, in the back section here, it was initially $20,000, but now it might be raised to $25,000. So wouldn't that indicate to me that the amount actually is closer to $100,000 than $74,000?
That's correct, Vice President Farmer, and that does not include item 3B. And again,
well, I understand that, but yeah, we're just addressing this right, yeah, now.
And again, we're responding out of necessity. We're responding out of the cease and desist order. We're responding on the direction given to us by the Regional Water Quality Control Board. And I'm confident that the board, regarding these costs for the impoundment basin, will make the best decision possible in possibly recouping some of those costs. So.
Okay, just one final comment, and my apologies for taking up the time. I know the other directors probably have a question or two. Who's paying for this?
We are right now.
We is?
The CCSD.
And our money comes from?
This money is coming from the set-aside funds that we designated for the Sustainable Water Facility.
Okay, and those funds come from?
Those funds come from?
The ratepayers of this community?
Yes.
Okay. And so why are we having to do all this work?
I think you know the answer to that, Director Farmer.
Okay. Well, then we're having to do all this work because of the design flaw in this particular project, right?
Again, I think you know the answer to that, Director Farmer.
I guess I'm just concerned that there's a design flaw in this project, and the ratepayers of this community are once again having to pony up money to repair for a flawed design to begin with. I'm done. Thank you.
Director Wharton.
Director or District Engineer Gressons, you did mention that the pond has been in compliance for a few months now. How many months has it been in compliance? And do we expect it to fall out of compliance when the wet weather comes, or are we expecting it to continue to near empty?
For the isolation of the surface water, once we get the swale in and the sandbags completed, we don't believe we'll have an issue with the surface water, although there is a maintenance problem of the creek, the Van Gordon Creek, being full of debris that needs to be addressed, because what happened last January is that the flow capacity of the main channel of Van Gordon Creek got overwhelmed, and then it overflowed the banks. That in turn got onto the state parks property, which flowed to a low point on the road, as opposed to making it back into the creek channel or to the 40-inch culvert on the other side of the property. So it flowed across the roadway and into the pond property to the south, and then some of it got into the pond. And that was a definite violation of our permit. So we're now finishing up the sandbagging on a little higher elevation along the top of the berm behind our frog fence. And then we are also, for 3B, assuming that would, subject to your approval, we'd have a better drainage swale that would route water from the northern side of the pond around the east side and then back onto our property south of the pond, so we wouldn't have that ponding that occurred in the past.
again, as Jerry mentioned earlier, there has been some helpful work by the county. We're going to continue a dialogue with them to see what can be done to improve the roadway drainage. It is a safety issue besides a problem for us. Cars can hydroplane on there, and it could be a bit of an attractive nuisance for certain, say, younger teenage boy drivers that I once was. So, you know, there's some other issues to consider here, and I'm hoping that we can work as several agencies towards solving this and maybe raise that road in the future. It'd have to be a capital project, and you'd have to involve some funding on the county's part or on our part if we wanted to partner with them to make the problem go away. But that's off in the future somehow, to figure out how to address that long term, and it would result in a much safer roadway. It would help the neighbors that live further up the roadway to have to not have to contend with a flooded road when these heavy storms arrive.
So. And to dovetail off of what Director or Vice President Farmer was saying, you indicated that some of these problems weren't inherent to the brine pond itself, rather than the factors that feed into the brine pond, such as Van Gordon Creek being full of debris, low shoulder. Is there any, since those were contributing issues, is there any remediation that we have to go to them and saying part of your neglect was our problem that we've shouldered?
Yes.
As a district?
We have to continue making progress. I've been so involved in these particular contracts and trying to come up with the swale and so forth that I need to shift gears and start approaching the proper owners. I need to verify, you know, the proper ownership for that upper reach of the creek, for example. I might be looking to Paul to help me on that. But I've had some discussion with the California Fish and Wildlife, for example, for our portion of the creek that's south of the road. I've been in there with West Coast Tree not too long ago, looking at all the various snags on our property, and that has to be carefully located and presented with pictures to California Fish and Wildlife before we can take any obstructions out. So that's a real sensitive issue with them, and whether we can get that permission this year before the heavy rains arrive or not remains to be seen. I mean, normally you wouldn't need a what they call a stream bed alteration permit. That can take 6 months or more to get. If you just carefully, you know, hand remove the logs that are blocking the creek, but it has to be done again very carefully because they don't want to have live trees removed. They don't want to have heavy equipment down there, so forth. And a biologist has to get involved and to make sure we're not disturbing sensitive species.
Sure.
And it's difficult work. I mean, quite frankly, it was a workout. I was down there in the hottest day of the year with someone about 30 years younger than me, trying to keep up with them and hopping over logs, dodging spiders that are about 1 inch in diameter. And
it did seem to be quite full. I took a tour of that
yeah.
area.
Yeah.
There's two other things that, so we also met with state parks. So Bob just talked about the area really just adjacent to our pond, and there's the one up Grady, and if you can visualize that going towards Clyde Warren's property, that creek bed right there. So we did meet with state parks, and they were going back to Dan Fallett and asking him to allocate some resources, which would be environmental scientists, to meet with us and to evaluate the area. And I got an email from superintendent today, Dan Fallett, apologizing for not getting back to me, but he's going to talk with his staff. And again, Dan and I have a good working relationship, and I'm hopeful that he'll commit some staff. What's interesting is when they commit to an environmental scientist, they'll go down there with us, Bob and I, and they'll take photographs. But as they take the photographs, their camera is tied into a GPS system, and if they see any snags, then they can just automatically expedite the process to get those things removed from the permitting process. Then there's a large culvert just between the Clyde Warren property and then our property. It's a large culvert. It's what they call it. It's an oblong-shaped culvert. It's been damaged, and it has a lot of sediment in it. And it will require some additional permits to get that taken care of. But again, I'm working with the county on that, and I'm optimistic that if it isn't done necessarily this year, that it'll be done next year. And so we can start that process. But it's important to note that the lack of maintenance in these particular areas have been going on for multiple years. So, you know, are we where we need to be yet? No. Have we made significant progress? Yes. Do we need to make some more progress? Yes. If we could get it all done in a 2-year period of time, I think staff would be really, really happy. There also seems to be a real willingness, at least at this point in time, from the county and from state parks to work with us, and I'm pleased with that. I really am.
Madam President, can I just chime in?
Yes, please.
Director Warden, these were all existing conditions, and they all could have been picked up by our engineering consultant, as Director Farmer has noted. An appropriate survey before the engineering design would have revealed those conditions and then would have been incorporated into the design of the brine pond. So although we've looked at upstream owners and liability related to that, you know, the proximate cause of this was not the upstream owners.
That was going to be my question, whether it's something that there's potential recovery. So we'll deal with that as we proceed.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you. And I have a couple of questions here. One of the questions is the Cleith Harris related to the work that Cannon's doing on the surface water?
That's related to the groundwater, which is okay. Specifically mentioned in the cease and desist order.
Yes, I'm aware of that. And then how much have they completed the work that they're contracted for in this particular? Or is there more to do besides the $5,000 for that extra?
Yeah, there's probably another bit of reporting to go on that, but they've pretty much completed the majority of their work at this point. There's $5,000, again, that wouldn't get spent unless we went forward with that French drain. So,
and it was my understanding that as part of the SEIR that the board, and perhaps even at other discussions that we've had, that the board had already decided that we were going to not go with trying to continue to use the brine pond for waste. We were going to empty it of the fluid and then clean it out, and then future use of it would be something that would not be subject to the same permit because it would essentially be in the same place but a new project. So I kind of am confused why we're pursuing the French drain or any of the particular groundwater issues, because it doesn't make sense to me, not an engineer, doesn't make any sense to me that there would have to be a groundwater separation between the pond and groundwater when what we have in there is groundwater as opposed to waste from the advanced water treatment plant. And so doing this seems to go against what we said in the SEIR about discontinuing use and what we agreed to with the Regional Water Board regarding discontinuing use of it once we had picked a closure plan for the pond. But maybe I'm misunderstanding what this work is. Mr. Carmel?
The sequence that actually happened was we had to get a closure plan done within 30 days of July 18th. And that was the focus, was getting a closure plan. There were several versions that actually went back and forth, as you all know, with the regional board. It was during that time that the regional board said to us, we consider the pond, while it's full, operational. And that's when the tasks in Section 1, they're listed as tasks to be completed before recommencing surface impoundment operations. They said, it's operational now. Get those things done. And that was sometime in September, I think. I believe you were at the meeting. So that's when we realized we really need to get this stuff done now, and that was part of the delay that you were pointing to. So we have to get these done whether we ever choose to operate the pond or not, based on what the regional board originally said. Then they backed off from the French drain. That was about 3 weeks ago or so. They said, you don't need to go forward with that. It's extremely expensive. We think the work that you're doing now will remediate the problem. I think that's the sequence that actually happened. Did that answer your question?
Well, yes and no, because the four tasks were related to having the option to still be able to use the pond. And I know we're subject to the permit until it's emptied and cleaned out. I understand we're still subject to the permit.
Right.
My understanding, though, was that the water board staff said deal with the surface water, and then if it comes to it that we can't get it emptied in a quick enough turnaround, there were some other options besides the first one, which was to be able to continue to use it for some reason, other than just during the time we're still subject to all the requirements of the permit until it's emptied. But we weren't, to my understanding, the board was not understanding that we were going to continue to put brine into it. We were simply going to empty it and then potentially in the future rehabilitate and do a different thing like for fire protection or something, but that wasn't part of, that this part is not something we need to be doing right now. We don't have a lot of extra money, and if it's something that it's like just about, we're on the second to last chapter of this contract, that's one thing. But it's my understanding we don't need to be doing this part of the groundwater separation issue as part of something that we're doing this moment unless we're going to continue to use the pond. I mean, restarting is different. What was the word you said? Not repurposing. You said if we're going to recommence using it. Well, that says to me not just what's currently in there, if we're going to start putting stuff in it again.
Right. I didn't say that. I think that's in the staff report. You're absolutely right.
Oh, you just read it from something that you were reading, I think.
Oh. Again, I think what we're doing is complying with regional board's directive, which is, and they did say you have to deal with the groundwater issue as well. We were actually taking core samples when they finally ended up saying, and they've been great dealing with us, they finally recognized the cost associated with that and then said, you don't need to do that at this point in time. But that was probably 3 weeks ago or so when that was said. And no one at this point, until the board tells us otherwise, chooses to do anything but comply with the cease and desist order and stop using the brine pond. That's what we're doing. These four tasks they're telling us need to be completed whether we choose to do that or not. We still have to comply and treat it as though it's operational right now. That's why we have to do both. And they have been very gracious in sort of eliminating some of the focus and some of the expense on these tasks, especially the French drains, and which would have been hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh, agreed. The
but
staff has been really
I don't
helpful.
Think staff intends to start. Well, obviously, we don't have anything to do with the policy decision of whether or not we're going to ever use the brine pond again, and we can't right now. So we're doing these tasks because they told us to treat that brine pond as operational right now, whether you ever choose to use it again or not.
Okay.
All right. If I may add, too, strategically, you know, we're not sure until we make it through that December 7th water board meeting that we'll actually have the low-threat permit approved that allow us to go forward with our closure plan. So by having this data, you have more options, possibly. You know, it kind of gives a little more control to you as a board to have that data. I'm fairly certain, you know, in my own opinion, that the water board will probably approve that permit. But again, it's going to take an action at their December 7th board meeting to really issue that low threat permit and to allow us to go forward with that plan. So there's that to consider as well. But you are correct in your summation, I believe. So I just want to add that to it.
Director Berenger?
Is there a possibility of deferring this work until December 7th? Or is this something we must do? I'm getting the impression that this is something we have to do, whether we like it or not. And to argue some of the engineering technicalities, I don't think is a good focus of ours. But tell me if we could, say, delay this for a month and have a different plan. Help me with that one.
Well, we are fighting the deadline of the wet weather season coming upon us. We're lucky we have a nice dry month right now, and the last rainstorm wasn't that substantial, so the conditions are still very dry out there. So we're fighting that deadline on the wet weather preparedness. So as far as the consulting contract, so we really had to get that going so we could get ready and come up with a way to deal with the surface water in particular, and also not to be working out in very wet conditions, say trying to get data for the soil. So we moved forward on that. But as far as the closure plan activities, we're just looking at what we can do to avoid working in wet conditions. For example, this past week I asked our water department to just put a 2-inch tap on our effluent line leading into the perk ponds, because that's what we would have to do in after December 7th. But it's worthwhile doing that now before the soil gets wet. And they're just going to put a 2-inch tap and bring that up to the surface and cap it. So we have to go in there, say, in late December if we get a lot of rains and be trying to work in soggy, wet soil. The piping then could be above grade and just connect to that, as opposed to trying to dig down and find the main. So that was pretty minor work. It's just a little bit that we did in trying to get ready for that closure plan being approved. But it is a little bit of a gamble if we do more, say we rent these Baker tanks, for example. They have a monthly cost, and the plan calls for 2 Baker tanks to be pulled in and some temporary pumping and piping and so forth. It'd be nice to be ready to go on December 8th, assuming the water board, does give the approval on December 7th. But I'm getting a little bit off subject because I'm talking now about the closure plan preparations as opposed to the wet weather preparations.
If I may, is it realistic to think that we would be able to have a design in place for the wet weather this year for the French drains for the groundwater separation issue? Because if that's not a realistic to be able to put it in, then I'm not seeing the urgency as part of this preparation for this season. I mean, I understand, but if the design can't be put in so that we maintain groundwater separation this wet weather year.
We were close to being able to do that. We had a discussion with Tim and Jerry and myself about that, and we decided it was just pushing it too much to try to get a French drain in this year, so we just told the water board we'll hold off until next summer at the earliest on that and let you all make a decision on whether you want to go forward with that. But it is a possible solution to the groundwater now that we have the data and the study work done by Cleith Harris that we didn't know was possible in the past.
I think one of the things that's important as we look at this from a timeline perspective is that
thank you.
The Regional Water Quality Control Board has been extremely gracious. If you recall, and I do vividly, the meeting on February 5th or February 1st, and really it was about reestablishing credibility with the Regional Water Quality Control Board, and that's by getting reports in on a timely manner. But also, when they ask us to do something, we in good faith do it, even if there's a cost unfortunately associated with it. And I would have concerns that if this was not approved, these items, that it would send the wrong message to them. It I think it needs to be approved, and at least that's my position on it, whatever the board chooses to do. But I want to continue to build that relationship with them and that trust and that confidence that we're heading in the right direction with regards to this.
And I'd like to think it's important to acknowledge that these contracts have been brought. They maybe weren't brought in the order that they should have been and as soon as they should have been before the work began. But I do want to acknowledge that they have been now brought forward so that we have a chance to see what's going on. I have a slight concern because my name's on one of these on page 66. I think it's the terrain contract. My name's like kind of crossed out on it, and it's the original contract with terrain, and the other concern that I have, this is something that I think is really important. By state law and our own ordinances, you, General Manager Gruber, cannot agree to a contract greater than $25,000 without the board's approval. but I don't have a resolution in here or anything other than what would essentially be the approved minutes to protect you from somebody accusing you of doing something like letting a contract for greater than $25,000 without the board's approval. And those are two kind of separate but related issues. You're going to be signing contracts just on our okay today, and then in the minutes that are approved from this meeting, that would show that you're doing within the law. But I just want to make sure you're protected from issues. And there isn't a resolution that says that the board hereby gives you the authority to thereby do whatever the legalese is would be on that issue. So if you can address those two things, that'd be great.
I also see that on the page that you're referring to that Robert Gresham's signature is above my block. So I think this was just in an effort to get this before the board, so we apologize for that. We wish we would have had just a little more time to put everything together and dot all the I's and dot all the T's and cross all the I's and all that good stuff. So, but
I noticed that.
Okay. Can you maybe speak to that issue? Guys, I really want to make sure that general manager is protected from somebody accusing him of going too far without board approval or whatever, and that's one of the reasons why we're having this meeting, but I just don't see any.
Sure, it's a standard operating procedure to authorize your general manager to sign a contract. We've done it thousands of times here, and the tracking comes with the minutes, just like you track with the resolution. That's the alternative, is to track with minutes, so it's not out of the ordinary.
Why wouldn't I have signed this original contract with Terrain? Why is my name like on there but then crossed out?
That's a mistake.
Okay. And you just didn't reprint the contract with the correct?
That's what it looks like.
Well, I'm just curious. Excuse me for interrupting without being acknowledged. I'm just curious. It says N.A. In other words, as if the signature of the board president is N.A., not applicable, and then that's initialed by all the other people that signed it. Is that like... is that a normal practice?
Well, that was to make sure it was clear that that wasn't necessary to make this contract operative.
Okay, that's what I figured. Just wanted to check.
And then the Terrain is going to go up to $25,000, and the reason you're bringing it forward is because it's related to all these other things, but it's not over the amount. But because it's related to everything else, is that why you brought it forward with this?
That's correct. A lot of this work, or all of the work really that has been done, really couldn't been done at this cost or expeditiously as it was done without Paul Reichart setting the foundation through surveying means to give them the foundation to move forward. So he's kind of been the guiding principle, if you will, regarding a lot of the hydrological work that's been done out there and the swales. For an example, on 3B, when we get to that, we would not be able to move forward with 3B at this point in time if it wouldn't have been for Terrain, because they wouldn't have been able to know where to develop or where to build the swale. So the surveying is critical in all this, not just from a hydrological surface water, groundwater perspective, but also from the swale perspective. So I think it was well advised for us to bring Paul on early on in the process.
Okay, and the last question that I have, I just want to observe that I am glad that we finally got these in front of us. It seems like they should have been in front of us sooner, and I'm sensitive to the fact that we do need to do this work. I do not want to be an obstacle to getting the work done that both needs to be done for our permitting purposes and to maintain good environmental practices. But I do need to say I'm really kind of uncomfortable because because you didn't have enough time to put it together clearly and without some rather obvious kind of conflicts, and that I'm a little uncomfortable with the contracts the way that they were kind of put together, and I don't want to be an obstacle to getting the work done or getting the consultants paid for work they've already done. I don't know why we need to have the date of the term be longer than the fiscal year, because that would seem, since we would be out of the dry out of the wet season by June 30th, that maybe we could make these terms that, if that's possible. I don't know if that change would be realistic or possible, but there's one of them is goes through June 30th, so.
I mean, I defer to Bob. A lot of times we build in a buffer there, as we discussed earlier today, just so we don't have to come back and get the board to extend a contract.
If it was extended, we'd probably be spending more money, though, right?
No. Sometimes you just run out of time. And you the contract's expired. We've got to bring it back to the board. We've had to do it many times. And I think that – but, Bob, maybe you can comment on the term.
I'm pretty sure we thought that if the French drain went forward, we might need more time past June 30th. So if that $5,000
optional
cost.
Probably more than $5,000 would be my guess.
Well, I don't know. He's. I give him credit. They've been pretty good about controlling their costs. But, you know, it's, it'd be tight. But
Director Berenger?
No, I was just going to say that it looks like, yes, this is brought to our attention. I think it's being brought to our attention in a specific area. I agree with all of the comments that have been made by the board. I don't think that's, and I think especially in reacting wisely with the State Water Resources Control Board, it's critical that we move forward. I don't think we have many choices. I don't have a problem with extending beyond the 31st because sometimes, you know, our fiscal year, that's an artificial barrier that, if a consultant needs to finish up some work, I'd see that the French drain probably won't need to be done, and I see it's pulled out. And for that, I would actually move that we approve item 6A, approve the consulting services agreements with Cleve Harris Geologist and Cannon to support wet weather preparedness activities for the Sustainable Water Facility, Surface Water, and Palmetto Basin.
I have a question. If I can get that before.
Is there a second to approve? I would second. Further discussion. Director Wharton.
General Manager Gruber. So we've started some work on this already and incurred some costs. If we were to put this stop dead in its tracks today and defer it down the road, would there be startup costs again? Would we be spending more money than we would today to reincur the startup costs, or would it almost be picking up where we left off?
I would defer to Bob on that. I think any time that you stop a project and start, but that's more along the capital type of things, the mobilization of equipment and things like that. These are more agreements with people actually doing engineering work and analysis, so I don't know. I think the more important variable, Director Wharton, would be the perception that we might be sending to some of the regulatory folks regarding this matter, since we've been working diligently in good faith since the cease and desist order hearing in Watsonville and also since the February meeting. That is a board decision, but I just would be concerned that from a perception standpoint that we might give the appearance that we're talking out of both sides of our mouth. And I have concerns about that because it is about relationships after all. And we're heading in a direction that has taken a long time. But it's a good place right now. But also with the understanding is that we never again need to be complacent or feel like we got it all figured out, because we need to continue to strive in those relationships with the Regional Water Quality Control Board. So.
Thank you for your clarifying comments.
Further discussion?
I don't even know if it's been seconded yet, but
I seconded it.
Oh, you did? That's right. Yes. So, excuse me, I'm spacing out. It's never happened before. I guess my two main concerns, and the first one is less important. I wish we had gotten these agreements before us. Long before now, especially considering the fact that some of this work's already been taking place. But I think my biggest concern is the fact that we're once again, at least in this agenda item, spending close to $100,000 of ratepayers' money on repairing a problem that was part of a design flaw. And the fact that the ratepayers are, at least for right now, going to have to foot that bill I'm just really uncomfortable with that. And that'd probably be reflected. And by the way, I do want to mention, knowing Paul Reichart, knowing the good work that he's done for the district, I don't know these companies that we're being involved with, but I trust that they're doing excellent work. So whatever my vote is no reflection on the work that's being done. It's a reflection on my concern as to where the money is coming from to pay the bills here when the ratepayers shouldn't be having to do that. Thank you. It should be incurred by the people that made this design flaw in the first place.
One additional question before we vote. If you look on page 58 on the terrain group agreement, the term says March 1st, 2017 to June 30th, 2017. Do we need to make an amendment in addition to the extra money? Do we need to change that? Page 58. Do we need to do something with the contract so it's we're covered insurance-wise and all of the other?
I'm not sure I understand the question, but that's an executed contract.
Right. So this is the original one, and we're giving the general manager authority to spend some additional money under $25,000, but right. I don't know if the work's already been – I mean, has the work already been completed by June 30th, 2017?
No, that's a good point and a good catch. No, so we need to extend
need
that through a contract.
I mean, we can do a contract amendment that shouldn't be too terribly difficult, right?
That'd be very
curious. Could we make it part of the motion?
Sure.
Sure. So what's the date going to be then?
I would say that we should probably go to June 30th, 2018.
Okay.
And it might be
my motion is to amend and approve.
Yeah, and I do want to increase the $20,000 authorization up to the $25,000 authorization to carry us through 3B if that one gets approved next as far as getting the swale constructed. So,
right, and that's a separate thing,
a separate
though,
issue,
right?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Unless we – let me ask Tim if we want to make that part of the same motion or not, or does it not? Okay, it's not needed.
All right.
I defer.
All right, and I'm Thank agreeable you. To that change to okay. the motion as long, and I think we're...
Good call.
I think we're okay to call the question.
Director Berenger?
Aye.
President Rice?
Aye.
Director Wharton?
Aye.
Vice President Farmer?
No.
The vote is 3-1. The motion passes. Thank you, everybody. I know that was probably longer than you were expecting. We do have an addendum for the item 3B. Would you like to introduce the item, please?
Yes, Madam President and board members. Thank you for letting me introduce this. Item 3B is discussion and consideration of approval of a public works contract with the G.F. Garcia and Sons Incorporated for drainage swale at the Sustainable Water Facility Surface Water Impoundment Basin. And with that, I'll turn it over to District Engineer Bob Greshens. Thank you, Bob.
Okay. Thank you, Madam President, members of the board. This particular item is for a public works contract with GF Garcia and Sons, and this is to complete a swale along the north side of the impoundment basin, and that would carry any water that came through that fence area that we had problems with back in January around to the east side and then south and then discharge it onto our property that's fairly heavily vegetated south of the pond. So we would not allow any future water to get into the pond and accommodate the requirement and request of the water board to not to isolate stormwater from the impoundment. And that in combination with the sandbags we're having set would solve that particular issue. And in the meantime, we'd continue to work with the county to try to get them to either raise the road or improve their drainage, which might take longer. It might be a longer-term effort. So, again, this was informally negotiated with GF Garcia. Their actual cost is at $44,865. There's some work that we'd probably still do separately related to erosion control. There's some erosion control mat that they put in, but not necessarily all the straw wattles and other incidentals that could happen that we would do separately either getting the materials or putting them in place. We're doing our best to stay below the 45,000 number, which was key to allow us to proceed in a timely fashion. And hopefully, depending on your decision to go forward, we have a few little housekeeping things to do, then give them a notice to proceed, and then get the work done. It's probably about less than 10 days effort. Our long-range forecast looks like we have a good 10-day window to work in. The last rain forecast is calling for rain around the last week of November. Alec Garcia, who has been their prime contact and principal, believes he can get in and get out. But it is time-sensitive, and it's subject to weather and trying to stay out of that wet weather period. So that's the gist of what this is about. I would be glad to go into any further detail questions you might have.
Madam President, for transparency reason, when Bob referenced miscellaneous items associated with that, I think it's important for the board to note that there is one additional permit that's required. And Bob, if you could elaborate on that.
We need to file a stormwater pollution prevention plan, and we're having discussions with the water board. I have a company assisting me that has the right qualifications on that. They're one of the issues we have is it's less than an acre of disturbance. It's about less than 0.6 acres in the. The regs say that you require one when you have 1 acre or more. It's being reviewed kind of conservatively, so we may just go ahead and just do it so we can get going on it. It's not that large of an issue, but it's something that we have to do. Trying to lock in a couple of supporting contracts or contract people. We have a cultural resource firm that has to come out along with Native American monitors during the work to make sure we don't disturb something sensitive and we get it properly tagged and collected. There's also a biological person that has to go and do a pre-construction survey. There's usually a couple-hour training to the contractor's crew before they start work so they know what the sensitive species looks like, and you know, they have to stop work and avoid impacting them, to call the biologist to come out, has proper licensing and credential to move it. These are usually mainly around red-legged frogs, for example. And then there's monitoring
during construction.
If I can
just interrupt you for a second, is that included in the $45,000 price?
No, that's additional cost that would be with separate purchase orders.
And I understand, again, this is a urgent so that we don't have the same problem again this year that we had last year. I understand that. I just wanted to...
Right. Correct. So those are some of the outstanding issues I'm trying to tidy up right now so we can get the notice proceed out, assuming you would act on this in a favorable manner. But again, it's your decision to make. So,
Director Barringer.
Mr. Gressens, you believe that this is not only required but urgent? Is that your assumption?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I would support the contract.
Director Wharton.
Have we referenced any of their previous work? The other major storm water diversion that GF Garcia has done? And if so, what was the success rate of their project?
I have just done some research on the internet, and they seem like a very solid company with that type of work. I've not had time to speak directly with their clients, but I know Mr. Reichert has past experience with them. I don't know if I don't want to put Paul on the spot, but Paul, if you want to speak to that, I mean, if that's acceptable with our board president to bring Paul Reichert to the podium, he could probably speak to that question.
If Paul's willing, I would like to hear the answer to that.
Okay.
I just, I want to make sure the money's spent wisely.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly.
Mr. Reichert, welcome.
Thank you. Paul Reichardt. I've been working in the county for about 25 years. I owned a couple engineering companies, civil engineering companies. I'm helping out the district right now really on a retirement basis, and there's a need for my services, and I'm providing it. That aside, Garcia Company, I've known over that 25-year period. I've done numerous projects with them. I just finished a project with the county up at the top of Black Mountain, which was an erosion control project. Similar, it wasn't a basin. It was really correcting erosion problems that have happened in the past. It was an emergency project like this one. We got it done in 3 days, moved out. I performed the as-built drawings for the project, so they're of record right now. And we've been commended by several different agencies on the work effort that was performed.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Director Barringer?
Of course, I'd move that we approve the public works contract of GF Garcia & Sons for drainage swale at Sustainable Water Facility Surface Impoundment Basin, with the consideration that on page 92 of the green sheet, it says drawing. Is there a drawing that's, is that just not in the green sheet packet, or?
We're still assembling that. I have a preliminary drawing and some of the documents with me today. If you want to see
okay,
that.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure that,
yes,
you know, that
we need to
there is such
catch
a thing
that.
That's yes. going to be included in this contract.
And Exhibit C is incomplete also, and the contract refers to Exhibit C, which is the fees, which is the very next page on page 93.
The line item bid items.
Right, and the payment schedule and so it refers to this, and it's kind of we agree that it's not to exceed $45,000, which is essentially, but without a breakdown of costs. So I'm trusting in our professional staff to make sure that we're getting what we need to be getting, even though this contract is not complete all of the data. There's a on the first page of the addendum, page 76, it says all work must be completed within 10 working days and no later than. Is there a consequence if that's the case? If it's not done by November 30th, or we just are telling them that and hoping they do it?
Great question. I have to look at the contract because I don't remember.
Then again, there could be a force majeure where, you know, rain or something prevents them from.
I'm only asking. I'm very glad to be having this before the work has begun. This is good movement in the right direction.
And as part
Mr.
of my,
Carmel,
there's a liquidated damages provision in the agreement.
Okay,
thank you. And so that would cover if they don't meet
$200 a day. But Madam President, now that you mentioned that, and knowing what District Engineer has just explained regarding the necessary paperwork that needs to be in, I'm wondering if that's enough time, Bob.
Should be.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Thank you.
And as part of my motion, that those pages, the drawing and the final page, 93, and any dates, that information is provided to the board.
I do have that with me. If you want me, I could read aloud the numbers.
I'm comfortable that you have it.
If that helps.
We have it, I think, as long as we can get it, that's the...
Right. Just so we have a complete package.
So there's a motion. Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second.
Moved by Director Barringer, seconded by Director Wharton. Further discussion?
I have some.
I don't.
So the work on the swale project is ultimately to reroute water into the perk ponds. If the swale wasn't there, we did have another event like we did this past January, what are the potential fines could we be? In other words, would we be facing? In other words, what's the cost versus benefit? You know, we're spending $45,000, but we could be saving X amount of dollars in fines down the road.
It's $1,000 a day or more, I believe, in referencing the cease and desist order. I don't have it right in front of me. But more importantly, that's pretty significant. Tim has a district council. Carmel has it in front of him. More importantly, it's a credibility relationship issue. You know, the Regional Water Quality Control Board's been really gracious in working with us And I would think that it would be a major setback for us from a standpoint regarding trust with them, and showing since February 1st that we're taking this extremely seriously, and we're dedicating all our resources to it. And so if we were to not do it, and something did happen, and we knew that it could be prevented by this, going back and asking them to have faith in us at some point in time would just be all the more difficult.
Thank you.
I need to just correct one thing, too. And water is not going into the percolation pond. It's being routed around the pond to our property that's south of the pond. So it's just kind of a reroute, so it wouldn't go into the pond. It does improve the conditions. The trenching that was done in January is not finished with erosion control, where this swale will have much better erosion control on it. So it is definitely an improvement. For that reason, it does lessen the likelihood of being fined for sediment entering the creek, for example, besides the potential for a $10,000 to $15,000 per day fine.
Further discussion? I just wanted to say thank you. Looks like we're on the right track to getting these contracts brought to the board in the right order and before work is done, and I hope to see in the future us continuing in that trend. And I appreciate that this was two separate items, so that was very clear that we are correcting something we should have done earlier, and now this is doing it still fast. Mm-hmm. Because this is an urgent. I would not want, for sure, on this not be an obstacle on that. I just want to be clear. I think we can. Oh, Director, Vice President Farmer.
Yeah. I just want to make two comments. Once again, I realize all this work needs to be done. And I also appreciate the fact that our relationship with the Regional Water Quality Control Board has improved since February the 1st. I think all of us board members, as well as the staff and regional, appreciate that. But once again, I'm just going to make this comment that until I know with a bit more certainty that these monies that we're spending now, and of course this holds true of all the money that we're spending on the facility, until I'm more comfortable with the fact that the ratepayers aren't going to have to incur this ongoing debt, even this, and I realize this work is necessary. I'm not dismissing that at all. I'm just really frustrated, and at some point we'll know more about the responsibility of the folks that built this flawed, this flawed pond, what their financial assistance is in paying for all of this. Until I know more about that, I have a lot of difficulty, once again, incurring more debt for the ratepayers of this community.
Maybe something that could make you a little more comfortable. Do we have any new information on the FEMA grants that we had applied to last year for applying some of those monies? Have we heard anything? Fingers crossed.
There's only two areas in which we are eligible for, and they're relatively small, but they're $9,000 each. So, when you apply for something like this, you throw everything at them. But at least regarding certain measures that we took in abating the impoundment basin, I think one they confirmed is $9,800, and the other one is right about $9,000. It's not a lot of money, but at least it helps.
Yeah. Thought it would be more. Sorry, Director Barringer, are you ready
nope.
for vote?
Yeah, I'm ready for vote.
Okay, let's call the question.
Director Barringer?
Aye.
Director Wharton?
Aye.
Vice President Farmer?
No.
President Rice?
Aye. And I'm going to, we're going to adjourn to closed session, but I want to call for public comment first and see if there's anybody that would like to make public comment. And otherwise, we're going to adjourn to closed session at Tamsin, which I believe is noticed on the door here, and at Tamsin, that's where we're going to adjourn to closed session. Thank you, everyone, for attending today.